Everyone needs a wall calendar, and your choices are endless. So why not choose a calendar that reinforces your faith?
It's an annual tradition at Insight for Living Ministries, and the 2018 edition is ready at insight.org. The theme, My Little Children Love One Another. Every month features a photograph of Christian believers who demonstrate their faith in action, complemented by a Bible verse that celebrates God's love. With plenty of room, of course, to keep track of your schedule. 12 colorful depictions of Christian love, 12 inspirational verses, and 12 visual reminders to love one another.
In 1 John 3:18, we read, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions."
Get your copy today by going to insight.org. The 2018 calendar from Insight for Living Ministries. When we take time to reflect on the course of our lives, all of us bear a measure of disappointment and sometimes regret. There are relationships we'd handle differently, life choices would likely change, and maybe time and resources would allocate with greater sensitivity. Today on Insight for Living, we'll watch one man revisit his past as we read the words he chose to describe his life's work. Chuck Swindoll directs us to 2 Timothy 4, where the Apostle Paul shares his personal scorecard. We're talking about looking back with no regrets. And Chuck begins with prayer.
Our Father, it is meaningful to read the words of a man whose departure had come, whose life was being poured out as a drink offering, whose days were now limited. There's something meaningful about such last words. Give us ears to hear. Take us again and again to the cross where our Savior died. To the cross that we are told to take up in order to follow his steps, to the cross where we first saw the light and the burden of our heart rolled away. May nothing have that significance in our lives, nothing but the cross of Christ, in which we glory and to which we turn over and over and over again to recover from the anguish of our past. It is there and only there we find full forgiveness and the remarkable divine erasing of the horror of failures. How grateful we are, our Father, for those who stood earlier in our midst. How honored we are to have them among us, who have known loneliness, distance from family and loved ones, many of whom have faced the enemy head on, who have buried their brothers and sisters who fought alongside them, who have known the anguish of war. We are free today because of them. Watch over those who today are in harm's way. Give them grace to go on to be deployed to fight for us. Somehow make sense, our Father, out of life and use your word in doing so. Our gifts are given today that might continue as long as we are alive and many years beyond. Should Christ tarry. These gifts are yours. We give them in the name of the one who gave his body and his blood that we might live eternally. In the Savior's name, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Looking Back, No Regrets.
It's seldom that a sermon is based on only three verses that can hold our attention, but these three are an exception. The one who wrote the words is an old white-haired man whose face is covered with a beard. He's stooped, he's scarred. The old apostle has come to the end of the trail. His travels are over. There'll be no more miles, no more churches that he will found, no more sermons he will preach. He is writing his final words. There'll be no other young man he will mentor. Those days are gone. He is on what we would call today his deathbed, except in his case, it's a cold, dark, dank dungeon under the streets of Rome, known as the Mamertine Prison. He's there, forgotten. He has no money, no status, inadequate clothing. He's shivering from the cold. He has little food, little respect is left. Those who once traveled with him are out of sight, except for Dr. Luke. Those who once quoted him have now forsaken him. There's not a hint of bitterness, however. There is not a shred of resentment. There isn't a trace of regret in verses 6, 7, and 8 in 2 Timothy 4. You look for them. They're not there. Remarkable man. He's come to the end, and there are no reservations, no retreats, no regret. Now, if you look at the structure of the letter, you will find that there's a change of subjects. Up until now, it's been all about Timothy's ministry and life. That's the first thing I notice when we get to this section of Scripture. Up until now, it's been all about Timothy's ministry and life. But from here on, it's mostly about Paul's memories and death. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 6. Immediately, the pronoun changes from you to I. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, not to me only, but to all who love his appearing. I, me, my. The change of subject. It's all now turning to the subject of Paul. The inevitable has arrived. The hot breath of death is now on him, surrounding him. He knew it. So rather than deny it, try to escape it, he addresses it openly and, I might add, triumphantly. Triumphantly. What a model he is for us. So we have time to reflect as we get to verse 6. Let's allow the words of this warrior to sink into our minds today. Let's witness what it was like for a man without regret to look death squarely in the eyes and not blink. The first thing I notice is this. He is acknowledging the reality of his present situation. That's verse 6. He's not escaping it, denying it, overlooking it, or ignoring it. He is acknowledging the reality of his present situation. Look at what he says. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Interesting words chosen here, and I think there are two figures of speech that are worth noting. The first is being poured out as a drink offering. What an unusual way to refer to one's death. Look at the next word, my departure. He's not only a drink offering, he says, the time of my departure has come. What a way to pass. What a marvelous testimony. So he's looked at his current situation, his present situation, and he is identified it as a drink offering poured out and a statement of his departure. Now, there's a second thing I notice in these verses. Look at verse 7. He's remembering the challenges of his past. Paul is looking at his life, and as you often do when you get to this age or this place in life, you begin to reflect on the way things were, things of the past. Teachers relive classroom settings and conferences that they had in their educational world. Nurses remember patients that they cared for. Pastors remember churches and events and funerals and weddings and experiences of their lives. Paul goes back and he calls these things of his past a fight, a course, and the faith. In fact, so significant are those three that he reverses the order in the original. Literally, he writes, "The good fight I have fought, the course I have finished, the faith I have kept." So here he's remembering the challenges of the past. Three specific scenes flash across the mind of this dying man. First, he remembers the battles, the good fight he has been fighting. See how he puts it? "The good fight I have fought." He's looking back over how many years? If you were to go from here in the dungeon back to the Damascus Road where he was converted, remember? You go back 30 years. 3 decades of time. As I span these decades, these years, these months, these weeks of time, I remember the fights. I remember the battles. And few people fought like the Apostle Paul. One battle after another. I could ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians 11, but I've chosen to read it for you from a paraphrase that might bring it to life even more vividly than if you just looked at the words. Listen to Eugene Peterson as he renders 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to about verse 30 in the Message. Paul's words. "I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten more times than I can count, at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling, year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends and struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, missed many a meal, blasted by the cold and naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it when you throw in the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches. When someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my own bones." We're talking about fighting a good fight. A number of you have known battles. Some of you have known combat. A few of you have been right next to death. Some of our own number have been prisoners of war. Fingers broken. Arms broken. Back broken. Spirit broken. But compared to this, this is 30 years of fighting a good fight. No regrets. Not once did he name somebody and blame them for what he was going through. Not once. There's not one if only. only I hadn't married her. If only he hadn't come into my life. If only our kids had done so. Don't go there. That old list never ends. Some kids. If only my parents would do so and so and so. We're full of that. How easy to forget a guy who lived like this. And that's just one part of one chapter of one letter he wrote. We don't know the fourth of it. I fought a good fight. He's not bragging. He's telling it like it is. He's just remembering the battles he's fought. Look at the next one. The course I have finished. He remembers the race, and he remembers that he ran through the tape. He remembers the race, and he remembers running all the way to the very end. He didn't stop short. I finished the race. In fact, come to think of that, hold your place and look at Acts 20, verse 24. Go back to the fifth book in the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 20. And we're going to see Paul with a small group of elders from the city of Ephesus. These are his words, actually recorded by Dr. Luke, verse 24 of Acts 20. I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. By the way, that's refreshing in this day of meism, where everything revolves around me and my mind, where a spirit of entitlement pervades young and older alike. How wonderful to hear a man write, or to see a man who has written, no, I don't consider anything to myself as all that significant. So that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. In the middle of his ministry, he said, my goal is to finish the course I've started. I'm going to finish what I have begun. Folks, let me tell you that it is not your prerogative to set your course. It's your prerogative to run it. No two courses are the same. So quit looking for somebody who's had it as bad as you. Because believe me, there are a lot of them. It's a waste of time to compare yourself with somebody else's journey. Furthermore, you forget the providence of God and his sovereign hand. You think he's surprised at the race you've been running? You think he's been walking up and down heaven going, oh, what am I going to do? It's so hard for him. Oh, my. Are you kidding? He is sovereign. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. The race is set, and we are to run the race that has been set before us. And admittedly, some races are flat, boring, kind of like from here to El Paso. Just a straight shot. Other courses, there are sinkholes within the first year. Wretched turns, surprising curves, unexpected, sudden deaths that took place. Loss, grief, sorrow. One lady stopped me after the first service and told me of the grief she cannot get past. The loss of her husband. Untimely death, unexpected death. Who knows how many of those crossed this man's life. I don't care whether it's flat or rocky, treacherous, sinkholes, hills to climb or valleys to take care of, rivers to ford, no matter what it is, it's tough. It's tough. Furthermore, I can tell you without your even standing to tell me, you have someone you can blame for something. And so do I, if we choose to do that. What a treacherous way to give in to the enemy. Don't answer out loud, but how many of you right now would have to say you do feel like a victim? You know what? Every hand could go up. Because everybody in this place, everybody listening to me right now has been done wrong by somebody. Welcome to depravity. Furthermore, you have done wrong to someone else, and so have I. That's the course. The question is, are we going to finish it, or we're going to spend it standing around on the sideline complaining and grousing and blaming, looking for an escape to cut the course shorter. I received an email in our Insight for Living ministry just this past week where one woman wrote and she said, "There's hardly been a day in my life I haven't seriously considered suicide. Day in my life." We're reaching out to help her. Some of you wouldn't say every day, but you would have to say there have been a number of days that I've seriously contemplated that. This is a good time for me to make something very practical and personal. No two courses are the same. Your race isn't her race. His race is not going to be your race. Your journey will be different from my journey and mine from hers, and different from every member in my family, and each member of my family will have a different course, and each of yours. God plans all the courses and puts together all of the journeys. We run them. We are, according to Hebrews 12:2, to run the race that is set before us. It's significant that we don't set our own race. How different it would be if we were able to do that, huh? And how rarely we would really grow, knowing that hard times are the things that bring about growth. Finishing the course, it's too hard. It's too much. Wait. A new life awaits you. A whole new life on which you can build from these things that have gone wrong. Look at the list of Paul, friends and enemies and all of those things. And he winds up without anything but a dungeon. And soon a blade across the back of his neck as his head rolls down the hill outside Rome. That's the end of it? Oh, no. That's the beginning of it. End of this earth, but the beginning of glory. Isn't it great that Paul doesn't say, you know, compared to Apollos, I've really gotten a raw deal out of life. Or Timothy, I mean, you've got most of your life in front of you. I've got all of mine behind me. None of that. No regrets. I've finished this course. In fact, he said, I've kept the faith. Look at that third one. As he looks into the future, he says, I have kept the faith. Looking back, he remembers the treasure committed to him. He preserved it. He guarded it. He stayed true to it. He was faithful to it. He had no regrets. Now what happens? Verse 8, look ahead. You always remember when you're reading your Bible, if something addresses the past and something addresses the present, guess what? Before long, almost without exception, there are going to be truths given regarding the future. In this case, the order is reversed. He goes to the present, then he reverts to the past. The present is verse 6, the past is verse 7. Now he goes to verse 8, and look at the reward. Look at the future. What a marvelous statement. He is claiming the assurance of his future reward. I love this verse. In the future, there is laid up for me an opportunity to laugh at people who did me wrong. Nope, that's not there. Not there. Nope. In the future, God's going to show me how right I was and how wrong. Nope, that's not there. Nope. Nope. That's all earthly stuff. That's the past. That's the stuff, if you're not careful, you'll build your entire life on and you'll miss the new life. Look at the response of a man with a new life. In the future, wow. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me at that day. And he'll award it to all who love his appearing. What will he award? The crown of righteousness.
Keeping our eyes on the future reward will help us remain true to our calling. We're talking about looking back with no regrets, and this is Insight for Living. Today's message represents one small portion of our comprehensive study through 2 Timothy. To purchase the entire collection of messages from Chuck Swindoll, just go online and look for the series called Paul's Swan Song. You can request the CDs or the downloadable audio files by going to insightworld.org. Part of looking back with no regrets begins by charting out the course of your future. And as a convenient and practical tool, we've prepared the all-new 2018 Insight for Living Wall Calendar. Next year's theme is My Little Children Love One Another. By displaying this calendar in your home or office, you'll have a daily reminder to keep your eyes on the prize. Each month contains a thoughtful scripture reference and a beautiful photograph. Each picture depicts the way the church family cares for one another and reaches out to our community with God's love. The calendar is a popular annual tradition, and I'm confident you'll appreciate the focus of the 2018 edition all year long. It's yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Request your copy and give a contribution today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. Whether you're looking for a church home or you're ready to become more involved in your local church, we'd like to send you a free CD message Chuck delivered titled Body Life at Its Best. Ask for a copy of the free CD titled Body Life at Its Best when you contact us today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. You can also request the CD online at insight.org/life. This offer is valid only in the United States. Join us again Friday to hear the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Looking Back, No Regrets, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.